Hi, everybody, and welcome to the last sermon in this series that we've been doing as part of our online service. I get to come to you guys again using the wonders of technology. And for my talk today, I'm going to share my screen. So there we go. Hopefully you can see the visuals now. And we've been looking at Jesus in the Old Testament. And I started this series, which was great. And I explained that we were going to be finding Jesus in the Old Testament. As we move through the different weeks, we look at different stories, and we've had a few different ones. And I use the example of this fella here, which you might know is Wally. America's Calling Waldo, and how there was these great books that I used to have when I was a child, where you would literally have to find Wally. And you'd have a scene like this, and you'd have a look for him, and there he is, kind of blurred picture of him there at the beach. So the idea is in these books, you would look for this guy called Wally. And I explained in my first sermon, which you can go back and check out if you've not seen in this series, about how this is what we're going to be doing with Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, obviously, it's not this crazy picture book, but looking at the stories, reading between the lines, seeing what God was doing then and what he was pointing towards for Jesus. And we've had a bit of fun doing that, really, doing our own kind of idea of where's Jesus. And actually, he is everywhere in the Old Testament. Maybe not obviously named, although at times it gets quite obvious. But well-known stories like Noah's Ark, we looked at Jesus there. And we looked at Abraham and Isaac. We looked at Joseph, the guy with the great colored coat. We looked at Moses. And then last week we looked at King David. These are just five well-known characters, very well-known stories from the Old Testament, where we find Jesus in that story of what God was doing and who he was pointing towards. And there's just clues everywhere. And in our final installment of this series this week, I'm going to be talking about this whole string of clues, which, forget the big stories, there are just these kind of breadcrumbs throughout Scripture. Of people literally saying, this person's going to come. This person's going to come. He's going to be the one that God is going to send. The Messiah is coming. This is just a constant message throughout Scripture. The one that God will send to save you is coming. And it's not just saying that he's going to come. A bit like Wally, we get a description. Now, if you've never done a Where's Wally book, the way it works is that you open up the pages, and at the very beginning, it'll tell you what you're looking for. The different books have different ways of doing things, but the most basic one said, look, you're looking for this fella called Wally. Here's a picture of him, but to help you, he's got his hat, his glasses, he's got his stripy top, and it allows you to go looking for Wally because you get the description of him. However, usually most of the books had a clever page where it would be a sea of Wallys. It might be a scene where lots of people are dressed up as there's one in one of the Hollywood books, and it was like a film about Where's Wally, and there was all these people in costumes. And the thing about Jesus in the Old Testament, or even Jesus in the New Testament as pointing towards him, is that this was at a time when lots of people were claiming to be the Son of God. Lots of people were claiming to be a God, that they were the ones to be followed, that they had died and risen again, that they knew the only way to heaven, that their teaching was the only way. The Roman emperors declared this about themselves. Before the Roman emperors, the pharaohs of Egypt declared one after another that they were a God, that they were a son of a God. So what the New Testament was going to show us was not just any old Wally, not just any old Messiah, but the one anointed true Messiah that God had said throughout the Old Testament scriptures that he would send. So to help us to identify whose would it be, we were given more clues. Now, going back to our Where's Wally example, you're given not just a guy in a stripy hat, but in these kind of pages, oh, well, you need to find Wally with all his gear on. He won't just be, you know, wearing a backpack or have a hat or even have a cane. He will have his binoculars. He will have his camera. He will have his side bag. He'll have his kettle. He'll have all these different bits you need to find him with. When you put all those things together, you have the one true Wally, and you found him. And the same happens for Jesus. So this week, I want to kind of briefly talk about what was called the Messianic prophecies, where there were over 300 breadcrumbs, 300 bits of description that we're putting all together. You get the one, the anointed, the Messiah, the one who God will send to save us, talked about in the Old Testament. Jesus there in the Old Testament, not here on earth as a man yet, but being talked about that he will come and he will be with us. And there are loads, over 300. We're not going to cover those because I have a time limit. Also, you will probably give up around 50 or 60. And you can look them up yourselves. But I'm going to look at some of the major ones. Now, right now, you're watching this live, maybe. You might be watching this as a rerun. If you're watching it live, keep watching. Don't go messing around, because then you'll be behind with everything else. You'll be like, oh, what's going on? You'll be asking in the chat, and it'll all seem a bit weird. Keep watching, keep things going. But what you can do is later on, when this is posted on our website and on the Facebook page, you can go back and you can pause some of the next pages. Because if you're making notes, you're not going to be able to write quick enough. I'm just going to whiz through some of the major prophecies, some of the headlines, so to speak. And they've all got scriptural references. But again, if we read them all day, we'd be here all day if I read them out. So here we go. We've got the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. We've got a prophecy about how he will be a king, how he will be a descendant of King David and from David's family line, which we looked at last week. How the Messiah will be born of a virgin, how the Messiah will be a priest. He will be Lord. He will be God. He will bring salvation. He will save us. He will atone for sins. He will be the one that stands in the gap between us and God and takes our punishment instead of us. That he will heal the sick and he will preach the good news. That he will teach in parables, telling stories of the time that make sense to people. That he will be a light to the Gentiles, as in he will be not just for the Jewish people, but for the non-Jewish people. That he will enter Jerusalem riding a donkey. That he will be rejected, mocked, suffer, and die. That his enemies will pierce his hands and feet, divide his clothes among themselves, cast dice for his garments, and he will be served by future generations. That's quite specific, yet it happened. He will be betrayed by a friend. He will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. The 30 pieces of silver will be thrown into the potter's field. He will be beaten, mocked, and spat upon. His bones will not be broken. His side will be pierced. He will be raised from the dead. And he will send to heaven, and many more. And that is just a real quick overview of some of the main headline prophecies about the one who was to come, the Messiah, and what who we believe that that is Jesus, the one person who could stand before God, before us, and say, I fulfill these prophecies. In fact, Jesus himself said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus wasn't saying, hey guys, I've got a brand new message. The stuff you've heard from God before, that was great, but actually, here's a new stuff. Jesus said, yes, I have new teaching and a good news to bring you, but I've not come to undo what's been said before. In fact, I have come to fulfill it. All the prophets have spoken about, all that they've pointed towards, is fulfilled in me, says Jesus. And that's amazing when you think about it, because not only is it over 300 prophecies, but lots of those were to do about where and how he was born. Well, there's no way he can manipulate that. Where and how he was killed. Maybe if he was really clever, like, you know, Devin Brown level clever, he could kind of maybe manipulate the idea, but he can't then control where his body's put, what happens when he's buried, and then rising from the dead. Well, unless you're God, that just ain't happening. So Jesus fulfilled far, far more prophecies than is possible in a coincidence or accidentally. It just couldn't happen. And he himself declared these things about it. It wasn't even that we look back and go, well, actually, we put all this together and it happens to point towards Jesus. He said himself, this is who I am. I am the Son of God. I am here to fulfill these prophecies. I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he did this, going to the cross, the one that God had talked about throughout scripture. And this tells us two really important things. First of all, that God keeps his promises. What God said would happen in the very beginning, what God pointed towards in all those stories that we've looked at in the previous weeks, God says, I will keep this promise. I will see this through. When he said to Abraham, you do not need to sacrifice Isaac because I will provide another. It was true. When he said to Noah, we do not need to flood the earth again because I will say. When he said to Moses, it won't just be, you know, you're going to bring your people out, I'll give you commandments and I will be your God. He kept that promise. He kept it in Jesus. And the second thing we find out is that the cross, the death of Jesus, it was always plan A. There wasn't ever a plan B. Some people might look at that and go, oh, well, the law didn't work and the people weren't following God and, you know, they had to be exiled and overtaken and the Jews were having a really bad time for many reasons. So, okay, fine, send Jesus and he'll sort it. What we know is that Jesus was always going to come. The Messiah was always coming to save us. He was born to die. He was born to teach us what it means to love and to walk with God, to show us how to be his people and his church on earth. And ultimately, he came so that he could die to take our sin so that we can be forgiven, and then to rise again, to defeat death, to defeat the one final thing that separated us humans from God. It was the plan from the beginning. I don't know how it went down. In my head, I had this crazy picture of, you know, God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit sat around a heavenly coffee table, enjoying a cup of tea, of course, heaven's drink. And God explained that he was going to create. And Jesus saying, yeah, I know you're going to do that because I'm also God. And Holy Spirit saying, yeah, I knew before this conversation started. Isn't that a great idea? And God the Father saying, yeah, but you know what happened? They'll reject us. And Jesus goes, yeah, I know. And Holy Spirit says, but it's okay because we've got plan A. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm up for that. I will go down. I will die so that they can be saved. I don't know how it went down, but it was always going to happen. God didn't back out. God didn't change his mind. This was what was intended. There's this great website. You might have heard it before. You might have seen wristbands and hoodies and all sorts called the4points.com. And it kind of sums up everything that Jesus was for and everything that the Bible talks about in four really simple points. Now, obviously, the gospel is rich and it's so densely contained with God's wonders and riches that to say it's in 4 points, bish, bash, bosh, done, probably gives it a little bit of disservice. But if you're hearing this maybe the first time or this is your first time to try and understand this, then this is a great way to try and get across what it is God wants you to know. First of all, he wants you to know with the heart that he loves you. He loves you for you, no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've come from. God loves you. But the X says that we do wrong. We sin. We do things that separate us from God. And that's not okay because God is holy and perfect and he cannot be around anyone who is not. So to fix this, the cross shape is Jesus saying, well, I will die. I will be punished. I will be separated from God for that moment so that they don't have to be, so they can be forgiven, they could be made right again. In the most basic terms I can think of, it's like God did you his detention for you, so you're off the hook, you're done. And the question mark is down to, well, what will you do with it? Will you decide to live for God? Maybe you've been watching this service for us for a while. Maybe this is your first time diving in. Maybe you randomly found this video on YouTube and you have no idea what's really going on, but something is pulling at your heart right now. I want to invite you to take a brave step. If you are not giving your life to Jesus yet, if you've not said your yes to God being your Lord and Savior, then I want to invite you to do that. And there's no magic word, there's not a magic formula. It's almost once you've done it in your heart, God knows and he's already working. But for your own understanding, and the Bible says that when we say this, when we speak it out loud, then it does powerful things. So there's a prayer here you can say. So why don't you say this prayer with me right now? Dear God, thank you that you love me and have a good plan and purpose for my life. I'm sorry for ignoring you and doing things my way. I realize now that my sin has hurt you and the people around me. And for this, I'm truly sorry. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for me and took the punishment for my sin. Please forgive me and help me now by the power of your Holy Spirit as I decide to live only for you. Amen. If you said that prayer, then please get in touch. If you've just said it now live, let us know in the comments. Step out and be brave. This is not something you hide away. This is something you shout about and you celebrate. We'd love to get alongside you in a socially distanced way, of course, but we'd love to celebrate you. We want to support you. We want to help you in that. If you've made a decision another time, then get in touch with us. Send us a message, contact the church, speak to someone you know, speak to a Christian you know and you trust. This is the most amazing thing. We want to celebrate with you. Jesus has been throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is God. He said so himself. All the prophecies, all those 300 messianic prophecies point towards him being who he is. And so we can rely on this. This isn't some made up thing. This isn't just history that happened to accidentally fall into place. This was plan A It was purposeful. It's what God wanted to do in order to create and love us and to give us a chance to be forgiven and love him back. We're going to sing a song now. Kath's going to lead us with a song called King of Kings. And it's a great song that tells through the different verses and chorus of this story of what God has done from the beginning to the end. So let's raise our voices wherever you are, at home, on the bus, in the car, wherever you're listening or watching this, and bring your praises to the one who always wanted to die for you because he loves you and wants to save you. Amen.